This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
A little behind the curve there.
A little? Well, hey, sorry about that. Yeah. You said 1 minute.
I did. I lied.
I'm going to smack you.
Joining us, we have some more people from NACA, the National Air Traffic Control Association.
Right.
Did I get that right?
You did get it right, sir.
Yeah.
Amazing. This is the first thing.
I want a gold star. Anyway, we have Ray, who unofficially has the last name it can be.
Yeah.
And Sean Smith. Hey, guys, how are we doing?
Good. Wait a minute. You forgot good, one. We have Megan Just
Megan
Pictures.
Megan Just Pictures, yes. Yeah. She's hiding. How's the airspace been treating us? Are we paying attention? Are we doing what you tell us to do?
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
That's good. I've always wanted to know. I've heard that working this show is like a real badge, and it's almost like a lottery system or something to come here. Is that true?
I don't know about having a lottery. I mean, we all volunteer, and selections are made. A lot of cases, we pay for our own way down here. We have to use our own leave while we come down here as well. So a lot of us, Ray and myself, we love doing pilot outreach and to be able to help impact the communities, to be able to help use the system better. Help us be able to. Well, what do pilots need from us, and what do they need from? What do we need to get from them, and what do they need from us? So help bridge that gap.
Okay, as a student pilot, what would you recommend I do? Where do I start learning how to work with you guys?
Obviously, working with your CFIs directly to see what their expertise is as far as being able to talk with us. But I personally, to me, I love knowing when I have a student pilot. Whether you guys let us know on frequency or putting in the remarks, because what we'll do is if I find out you're a student pilot traveling, I'll update your flight plan. That way, every controller down the line also knows that you're a student pilot. Especially a first time, first cross country, whatever you're doing, we'll normally coordinate that down the line. So if I'm passing someone off to Ray, I'll let him know as well. That way, he knows what's going on too. So we can take extra care.
Right, right. Know that we're probably going to make a mistake.
Yeah, and we're here for you. We don't want you to be afraid to talk to us. We want you to be very comfortable being able to talk to us.
That helps. But, I mean, so many student pilots are just afraid of the radio in general.
I feel like they can be. And hopefully, like, again, doing this type of outreach that we do, we can hopefully, you know, bring those walls down.
Yeah, and not be afraid to talk to us.
Yeah.
Come for a visit. You know,
well,
come
it's
talk
that
to us.
Thing where you hear all these smooth pilots on the radio, and you're like, and you don't want to do that. You always want to sound like you're great, you're professional, but there's room for us little guys, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, always.
Yeah.
Always.
How long you guys been controllers? We'll default to the easy questions.
10 years for me. I'm at Tri-Cities, East Tennessee.
Okay.
And I've been, I'm at Albuquerque Center. I've been working for, it'll be at the end of the month, 19 years that I've been there.
Wow.
I was going to say, what possessed you to become an air traffic controller? It's a very stressful job.
Pilot for a long time. I was a full-time flight instructor, and I kind of came to that path of either going to the airlines, and then a bunch of my buddies bid on air traffic, so I bid on air traffic also, and I still flight instruct part-time. I like to do both. Not two full-time jobs, but it's fun. It's fun being on the other side.
Yeah, the scenario just popped into my head. You're a pilot. You're buzzing along. And you come across a brand new air traffic controller.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you can tell immediately.
You can, yeah.
And then it's like, okay, do I mess with this guy? Or how do I handle this here?
Yeah, it's funny. You don't think about training on the air traffic side until you're in air traffic, you know? So just kind of like there's the student pilot version of training. There's tons of on-the-job training at every facility, no matter where you go. It can take a couple of years to become fully certified where you're not plugged in with somebody else, you know?
Do you work your way up? Like, do they send you to smaller markets and then you can work your way to the bigger airports? Or
it kind of depends. For me, if you get the terminal track, yeah, you typically go to a smaller level facility. And if you want to move up from there, you can bid and move up from there. In the center track, all the centers are relatively busy. So
right,
yeah,
right.
From that's a little bit of a different side.
Yeah, well, he used to live in the Philly area, but anyway, yeah, that's crowded skies.
Yeah, oh,
definitely
yeah.
Crowded skies. So, and I mean, then you throw in a presidential TFR every now and then, and everybody gets confused.
Yeah. Or a major sporting event, you know, NASCAR or football, something like that.
Well, true. There's not too much NASCAR in Philadelphia.
No, but there is up in Pennsylvania and all over the South.
That's true.
And you've got to be careful. I mean, Atlanta Motor Speedway is right next to an airport.
Oh, yeah. Bristol's right next to Tri-Cities.
Yeah.
5 miles from the field.
Right. Yeah. And what they do at that airport is they put in a temporary control tower for the NASCAR Air Force.
Really? At the track?
At the airport that's within walking distance.
Oh, so it's a non-towered airport.
It is.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's different.
They put a temporary up. They roll it up. They inflate it. Boom.
Yeah. An auto air traffic controller pops up.
Have you ever had any experiences where you've had a pilot that was just really ornery and you yourself personally wanted to talk to them when they got on the ground because they just didn't follow anything?
I've had a couple in my career. The one that comes to mind for me was I work east of El Paso, so West Texas, and we get a lot of dry lines through there. And it's amazing how there'll be holes in those weathers, and the weather people won't want to get through it, and pilots will try to push through it. And there was two pilots that I've worked just over two separate years. And just warning them, I don't want you to go through this hole. And they're like, well, we're going to try it. And to go on the south side probably would have cost them another maybe, I'd say 40, 50 miles, you know, and get their ride. It's a real thing. And I had to talk him. I probably went back to him seven times, and I was like, I really do not recommend you go through there. And he's like, well, we want to try it, center. And I was like, no, let's just not do it. And I ended up giving him the sign heading just to go around it, where I know that he was kind of upset about it, but I'd rather be safe than be sorry with them.
Yep.
You know, it's going to cost an extra maybe 40 minutes or so on his flight plan, but in the end, it could have saved a bad situation. Plus, when I have carriers flying over saying that hole was closing rapidly, you probably had less than 5 minutes on that hole before it just enclosed completely.
And, of course, once that hole closes in, he's in trouble.
He's in trouble, yeah.
What are they called, sucker holes?
Yes, sucker holes.
Yeah. I worked with an engineer, and he told me a story where he's in an early on in his career. He was flying with the boss of the company, and they're in a four place, mm-hmm. and they're heading into weather. They're being advised to go around it, but the guy's like, "Nah, gonna go right through it," you know.
Yeah.
So he says, "We're in the back, white knuckling, scared to death." And then on the headphones, they hear the air traffic guy saying, "Well, we're vectoring everybody around it, but we got this one guy." And he said, the pilot turned around smiling and says, "Hey, they're talking about us."
Oh, jeez.
Okay.
Well, you know, the thing of it being is, you know, you're another set of eyes on the situation, too. You have information that these pilots may not have.
Absolutely.
Correct.
How much has ADS-B made your life easier?
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah, especially in some mountainous terrain. I'm not like West Coast mountains, but East Coast mountains. I can see you taking off.
Yeah, bombs.
I can see you taking off from a satellite airport 30 miles from the primary airport that I work at immediately as soon as you rotate. It's awesome.
Calls right, unattached and everything,
yeah.
too.
So yeah, it's, right. Yeah. So there's no squawk ident required. You already know who I am.
Well, we still need to tag you up and radar identify you with a squawk. It's just for our situational awareness that I can see that you made it in or you're about to call me.
Now, one thing I've always wondered, you've got track and heading and speed and all that. Does your system predict a course so that you can sort of get an idea if you're going to need to deconflict?
Ours does, right? Yeah.
Ours does. We have histories. So as your target moves across our radar scope, we have histories behind you, which tend to be more accurate than what our leader lines are, which is coming off of your target, which we can predict. So for an example, if you have, you know, an American in the Delta, same altitude, 34,000 feet, we can trial plan that out, you know, up to 8 minutes. Our lines go 1, 2, 4, and 8 minutes out. And then we can range it to see how many miles that we have in between. It's based off of their ground speed that they have right there.
Okay. So that's kind of cool.
It's really cool, yeah.
Yeah, it makes it a lot easier.
It is. And then from there, we can obviously use, you know, vectors. We can use speeds. We can use altitude. So that's like where our training kind of comes into.
I was going to say, because of the weather conditions, we've had a lot of really severe weather recently. Mm-hmm. It's got to make you guys do some real shenanigans trying to get the traffic safely around it.
Oh yeah, as my old trainer used to say, anybody can work in ideal conditions. The weather's where we earn our money,
yeah.
Big time. Yeah,
it only takes
a couple airplanes on a weather day for you to be working pretty hard.
Well, anything around any major airport's got to be just a mess.
Oh yeah.
Oh, and I can't imagine some of the major hubs: Chicago, New York. what is it, Atlanta or Charlotte, one of those two is a major hub.
Yeah, and
let's not even talk about Southern California.
Right. You guys used to back up the computer screens with paper strips.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You still do that?
We still have paper strips, yeah. I mean, because
there's been a lot of talk in the news about some system outages that happened, and how do you guys handle that after you get done going, oh, crap, and, you know, screaming at the screen?
You forgot beating on the screen.
Yeah. At my facility, our radar is backed up immediately by battery and then followed by generator. So if there was a main power outage, you wouldn't even see it on the radar screen.
Oh, well, that's good.
The battery backup would pick it up immediately, and then the generators would kick on from there.
Okay. Yeah. A non-event.
Yeah.
Unless, of course, something doesn't work.
And ours are similar, too. We have backup on backup, but of course, if those don't work, then you're going to have that trickle down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then you're going to like, oh, man, where was that airplane? I had it a minute ago.
You're going to end up in the tower talking to people with a pair of binoculars.
Well, that doesn't work at Center.
Yeah. No windows in our room.
Yeah. You must have really pissed somebody off. They put you in that room. The life of a controller.
I'm sorry, but I keep thinking of the movie Pushing Tin.
Never saw that one.
It's about air traffic controllers. Billy Bob Thornton, I believe, stars in it.
Wow.
It's rough.
I want him as my controller.
No, you don't. Wait a minute. On that line, could you see Samuel L. Jackson?
Oh, wow. Yeah, do you guys do impressions on the radio, you know?
I don't.
Well, now you've got something to work on. All right, we were talking with Ray and Sean Smith from NATCA. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
All right, this is Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie. Good luck to you guys. And this is EAA Radio.
Thank you, gentlemen.